May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The Sunday school curriculum we use to teach our youngest children is called Godly Play. It's a story-based education model, not meant to be overly didactic. You tell the children the Bible stories, Old Testament stories, the Gospels, parables, all of it, using these small wooden manipulatives and simple props because they're like the toys children would use to play with when they're telling their own imaginative stories. And then, rather than give simple answers or smooth over the confusing and upsetting parts, and let's face it, there are a lot of those in the Bible, you just ask the children wondering questions and let them embody the story and come up with their own answers. You might ask things like, I wonder what it was like to be on that ark with all of those animals. Or, I wonder how it felt to wander in the desert for so long. And you let the children begin to think of it as their own story and imagine what it's like to be part of it without giving them specific right and wrong answers. I remember the first time I really saw this method work and understood its power. I was sitting with a class of young students, and the teacher was telling the story of the Good Shepherd and the lost sheep. She spread out a green piece of felt as the pasture, put up a fence around the edge, and laid out a number of little sheep-shaped wooden pieces and a tall shepherd figure. She goes on to tell the parable, moving one sheep off by itself and having the good shepherd leave the others and retrieve that wayward one. The teacher had the children wonder what that little lamb might have felt like. Lost, scared, or as one kid said, maybe he's just fine. Sometimes you just need to be alone. Then she said this simple statement, I wonder what the sheep's names are. And the children started offering forth little animal names, Lammy, Wooly, Ba. And the teacher affirmed them. And then they said some human names, maybe Lucy or Billy or Mary. Then a little boy named Alex said, I think one's named Alex. Oh, the teacher said, yes, one could be named Alex. Then Alex said, if I was lost or scared, do you think Jesus would come save me? At this point, I wanted to just scream out, yes, yes, you get it. But that's not how it's done. And the teacher just said in this somewhat maddening way, I don't know, Alex. What do you think? And he looked very serious for a moment and then said, yes, if I felt alone, I think I could call out to Jesus and he would come help me. And that's how I fell in love with Godly Play and the power of storytelling as a faith tool. In today's Exodus passage, we see what happens when people forget to tell their faith stories. It really hadn't been that long ago that God had brought this very people out of slavery in the land of Egypt. It hadn't been long since he had started feeding them with bread from heaven. And it certainly hadn't been very long since Moses, their leader, had gone up the mountain to speak to the Lord. But clearly it had been far too long since they had reminded themselves of their story, of God's saving grace for them, of freedom and provision in the wilderness, of providence and the God who guided them as a fiery pillar across the desert. We know it had been too long since they had told those stories to one another because they felt far from God and they wanted something near, a statue, an idol that they could see to remind them of God's closeness. And they melted down their gold rings and they built a god unworthy of the story of the Exodus. A god who couldn't lead them or even move, but that they had to carry around themselves. A god who couldn't feed them, but devoured all that they had of value instead. A god who was not about freedom, but about enslavement. And the Lord was angry at them for how they had behaved in a way that God had not taught them. But here's the amazing part of this Exodus passage. It's Moses relying on retelling the story that saves them. God's anger burns, but Moses calms it with the simple technique of storytelling. Moses says to God, "Don't you remember the promises you made to our forefathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that you would make their descendants great among the nations? You can't rewrite that story now. If you turn away from it now, then the Egyptians will get to tell a story of a weak God who could not save these people, and that would be a lie. Save the people and let our story be told among the nations." And that's exactly what God does. And when Moses comes down the mountain after this, he tells the people that this must never happen again. And so they must tell their children and their children's children the story of the people's salvation in the Exodus, until it's not only in their minds, but written on their hearts. And they continue to do it to this day. And it's helped the Jewish people survive through all sorts of hardships and struggles across millennia. I remember reading a New York Times article a couple of years ago about the success of children when facing challenges. The simple summary of the article is that more than natural ability, family composition, or socioeconomic background, the children who knew more about their family's origin stories tended to be more resilient and do better when confronted with obstacles of all types in life. They measured children on what they called the "Do You Know" scale, and they asked "Do You Know" questions of these children, like, "Do you know where your grandparents grew up? Do you know how your parents met? Do you know some story of an illness or a job loss or something bad that happened in your family and how they dealt with it? Do you know the story of your own birth?" The more the children knew about each of these events and the circumstances around them, the more likely they were to overcome obstacles, from learning disabilities to moving to a new town, to the loss of a friend or family member. In other words, they found that the most important factor in a child's ability to overcome is having a strong family narrative. The study was originally done in early 2001, but after 9/11, they went back to the same children and measured how they were coping. The earlier results held up. The students who were most connected to their own family's narrative were also the ones most able to incorporate even significant tragedy into their lives without having equally significant breakdowns. In short, it didn't matter whether the struggles had to do with school, the difficulties of adolescence and peer pressure, or catastrophic changes in our world. The best predictor of a child's resiliency was whether or not they knew their own story and how they fit into their larger family narrative. I think that's true in the Christian world too. Jesus became famous in his time because he could reshape the entire religious landscape with his storytelling ability. He popularized the parable as a teaching technique. And through his telling of the faith story, he changed the way people understood the law and their very relationship to God. His telling of the story was not always simple. It was not pretty or easy to digest at times. Sometimes it was actually difficult and had some pretty rough edges, and that made it memorable and true to real life. For instance, I don't even know what to make of the ending of today's parable. And the outer darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I do understand what he is saying about the job of all of his servants. To go into the world and tell everyone they meet, good and bad, no matter what station in life, that they had a place at a great banquet and a seat around the table. We need to do likewise. To spread our story to those we meet, so that people know there's a place for them where they can be fed and surrounded by friends and find their place in this narrative. In the study I referenced earlier, they found that the healthiest narrative for children to hear was what they called the oscillating family narrative. This is when children hear about the successes in their family that they're proud of, but then also hear about setbacks and how the family overcame them and stuck together, and that they're proud of those things too. Ours is just that sort of story, because like most families, the Christian story is not a fairy tale. It has its unsavory characters and unflattering parts, and yet it leads to new life, redemption, finding purpose in the world, and ultimately salvation and wholeness. Our story here at St. Paul's is really the same. It has dark and destructive chapters, but like the phoenix that's carved on the front of that altar, we've risen above those. We're a people who have known hardship and loss, but like the empty cross that hangs above the altar, there are signs of past suffering, but it's over and there is new life at hand. Ours is a story where community triumphed over the forces that tried to pull it apart. This is a place where we made it because we knew who we were and who God was calling us to be, and we didn't stray from that story. We are a people who can tell the Easter story with integrity, because we know resurrection exists in the world, and that ours is a God of new beginnings and good news, and it is a story worth telling. The Christian writer Diana Butler Bass often says, "We become the stories we tell ourselves." And so this year, we will tell each other our stories again and again, until we're strengthened by them, until it becomes our very identity, until we find our place in the great Christian narrative. This is our stewardship theme, telling our story. And it's about a lot more than raising money. It's about investing your whole self in the story of our faith that we are telling here. There'll be chances to share our life stories with one another at things like dinner and discussion groups. There'll be opportunities in Lenten story groups to be reminded of how our Christian story shapes us. There'll even be an Easter exercise about telling how the gospel story of new life is reflected in our own personal stories of redemption. And of course, we need to start telling our story in the community, because it's a story that people need to hear and long to believe in. This is a year about strengthening who we are. We are stewards of the gospel, keepers of the eternal story, proclaimers of God's salvation narrative. And we will tell it again and again until we know it in the deepest parts of our own souls, until our neighbors know it, and until our children and our children's children can know their place in it forever. Amen.